turn in your Bibles, the book of Exodus will be in chapter 25 this morning for our text, as we'll read actually about 10 verses, a little section here in the book of Exodus, from Exodus 31 through verse 40. That's the rest of the chapter. We're going to read on the golden candlestick. And this morning, if the Lord will help me, I'd like to preach on the candlestick. And so if you have your Bibles, I see most of you standing. We'll begin reading here as the Lord commanded Moses here in the building of the tabernacle, and here particularly of the candlestick. We read in Exodus 25, and verse 31, "And thou shalt make a candlestick of pure gold. Of beaten work shall a candlestick be made. His shaft and his branches, his bowls, his knobs, and his flowers shall be the same. And the six branches shall come out the sides of it, three branches of the candlestick out of the one side, and three branches of the candlestick out of the other side. Three bowls made like unto almonds, with a knob and a flower in one branch, and three bowls made like almonds in the other branch, with a knob and a flower. So in the six branches that come out of the candlestick. And in the candlestick shall be four bowls made like unto almonds, with their knobs and their flowers. And there shall be a knob under two branches the same, and a knob under two branches the same, and a knob under two branches the same, according to the six branches that proceed out of the candlestick. Their knobs and their branches shall be the same. It shall be one beaten work of pure gold. And thou shalt make the seven lamps thereof. They shall light the lamps thereof, that they may give light over against it. And the tongs thereof, and the snuff dishes thereof, shall be of pure gold. Of a talent of pure gold shall he make it, with all these vessels. And thou shalt look that thou shalt make them after their pattern, which was showed thee in the mount." Lord, this morning, I pray you, Lord Jesus, that you would help us this morning, that you would remove all anything from our mind, Lord, that would keep us from the hearing of your word. I pray, Lord, help me in the preaching of it. And I ask you, Lord, to get these things across, Lord, that you laid upon my heart this morning and yesterday in the study of your word. We ask you, Lord, for all things to be done in accordance with your will. And we ask you this, Lord Jesus, in your name. Amen. You may be seated. Again, I'd like to preach to you about that candlestick. About that candlestick. For you see, this candlestick, as you may well know, it's a type and a picture of Jesus Christ Himself. Jesus, during their festival of lights, came out and said, "I am the light." And He let them know that this thing that they had, this thing that was part of their worship, was no more than something to lead them unto Him. For Jesus Christ is the light. And this candlestick is a type and a picture of Jesus Christ. And it's often said that this candlestick can be used as a representation of the church because of the seven candles that were in the book of Revelation. And to some extent this is true. But I want to submit to you that if this is a picture of Jesus Christ, and is He not our pattern, then this is for us to learn of our old selves, so that we might learn our old selves of how we're to be shaped and how we're to be formed and what we're to be in the tabernacle and in the temple of God, in the house of God. For the house of God is built up of lively stones, it says, which are us, living stones. We are part of the temple of God. And then if this candlestick is a picture of Jesus Christ, and I hope to show you just briefly that it is this morning, then it should also be what we seek to be. For Jesus not only said, "I am the light," but He told us, "Ye are the light of the world." And He told us to let our light shine before men. And so then, how better to do it but that we learn who Jesus is, that we might be more like He is. I don't have anything complicated for you this morning. I just want to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. I just want one more time to look at Jesus Christ, who is our Master, who is our Lord, who is the captain of our salvation, and who is indeed our pattern for who we should be in this world. The first thing I would submit to you about this candlestick is it had to be of the right material. This candlestick, it says, would be made of pure gold. Not gold that overlaid wood, not brass, but gold. For gold is a king's metal, and gold is the metal of God. Now, brass can be made to shine and look like it's pretty close to gold. But brass isn't gold. And as a matter of fact, brass in the Bible is used to picture judgment. And there's a judgment on that fake gold, if you will. There's a judgment on that that shines like gold that's not gold. But this candlestick had to be made of pure gold. And Jesus Christ couldn't come as sinful man. But He had to come, that would have been coming as brass. But He had to come as one without sin, being made in the likeness of sinful man, but yet without sin. And for this cause, He came down in such manner that the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary, and that was born of Mary was rather than a sinful man, a sinless man. That's right. Had to be a pure gold. And if you and I are going to be the light of this world as we're commanded to be, then we have to be made of the right material as well. We cannot be some kind of sheen of gold overlaying wood. See, wood, dead wood in the Bible always symbolizes man. The trees are people. The trees of the Lord are full of sap. The trees of the field clap their hands. The cross itself was a dead tree. It was old Adam. And wood is always a symbol of just dead men. As a matter of fact, it's no mistake that Jesus came as a carpenter, that He worked with His hands with dead wood, because that's what He came to do, was to take and work with old dead men. But yet, see, it wouldn't do for that candlestick to be just gold overlapping dead wood. It had to be pure gold. And it won't do for you and I to have a covering that looks like we're righteous, but underneath it all, to be old rotten wood, to be just our unregenerated self. But rather, this is why Jesus said, ye must be born again. We have to be made out of pure gold. We have to be made out of a material that's a godly material. And to that end, those things that are in us that are not pure, those impurities that are in us, have to be gotten out of the gold. And the way that gold is purified is through trials, it's through heat, it's through the refining process. And you and I undergo a refining process in all our life. And we go through heat, we go through pressure, and we go through events in our life that are designed to get the impurities out of us. Have any one of you ever noticed inside you an impure thought? Anybody? How does that come out of you? There has to be some heat applied to you. There has to be some pressure applied to you. There has to be a refining process. Why is it that we go through trials? Why do we go through troubles? Why is it we don't have enough money? Why is it we don't have the things we want? It's because we're undergoing a refining process to get the impurities out of us, that we not have wickedness that impede our work, that we rather be made out of pure gold. Now, Jesus Christ came as pure gold. You and I have to have this gold worked and refined. And I'll carry us to the next thing. Not only does it have to be the right material, but it has to have the right workmanship. Because it says it was a beaten gold. It says that gold was beaten. The whole work was beaten. And there's something. Now, I've never been in a goldsmith's shop. I've been to a couple of blacksmith shops at different little events and festivals and fairs. Well, I wasn't raised in a blacksmith shop. My granddaddy had one, but I wasn't old enough to go in it. But I know this about a goldsmith shop. There's one thing he has in common with a blacksmith, and that's that he has to beat his work. He has to hammer it. He has to get in there and shape it. It has to be not only forged, but it has to be worked. It has to be wrought. And you and I, just like Jesus Christ, must suffer the beatings of this life. There's a heating and there's a beating. Now, we often think of the fact of Jesus being that candlestick and of a beaten work, being that He went through on the cross. And He did indeed go through a beating on the cross. And He did, not only physical, but emotional, mental, everything. He took it all on the cross. But I'll tell you, there was a beating before the beating. I mean, he was not only was He beaten on that cross, but He was treated cruelly by men while He was alive. That's right. It said the foxes have holes and the birds have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay His head. He went around poor and mistreated. And I'll tell you this, before He was 30, before He started His ministry, I wonder how much He was mistreated then. You know, from the time that He was 13, not only does it say that Joseph was a carpenter, it says Jesus was a carpenter. You know, he was a working man. And has anybody here ever been mistreated by other people out there in the course of your daily life? Do you not think that Jesus Christ Himself was mistreated? I wonder how many times He made something for somebody else and they complained about it and wouldn't pay Him and told them, "I'll pay you in 2 weeks," and didn't pay Him. You think you're the first one that ever happened to? I believe that's the kind of thing that happened to Jesus even in His natural work here before He started His ministry. Why? Because He was a beaten work. And it pleased the Lord to bruise Him not only on the cross but all throughout His life. Did those wise men down in the temple pay Him much heed when He was a 12-year-old boy and answered their questions? They only paid Him a heed while He was there and then they forgot Him. He was beaten His whole life. And you and I must be of a beaten work as well. I'm trying to tell you to think nothing of it when this world would beat you. I'm trying to tell you to think nothing of it when your enemy comes against you and tries to tell you how sorry and low down you are. All that's happening is you're taking a beating. And as long as that shapes you in the shape that you're supposed to be, so be it. As long as when people come against me and say things against me, that it's just forging me and shaping me and molding me to where that I'm going to be in the shape that I need to be in to be a candlestick to light the world, then so be it. So be it according to the will of God. It's not always the will of God that I should have a soft and easy life. As much as I like it just like you do. I kind of like it when all the bills are paid for 3 months and I don't have nothing to worry about. I don't remember the last time that happened, but I like it. But, you know, I like it pretty easy too. I like having food all in the pantry and having everything taken care of. And sometimes the Lord will give us that. But sometimes He gives us a beating. And not always just for chastisement. Sometimes it's there to shape us and to mold us. And we can be of a beaten work, just like Jesus Christ, that we might be the light of the world. Sometimes the world needs to see you in your beaten shape. You ever thought about that? I mean, Christ was seen in His beaten shape. Maybe we need to be seen in ours sometimes. And I'm not trying to discourage you by telling you you got a beating coming. You already knew that. I'm trying to encourage you by telling you it's got a purpose and it's all right. It works the will of God. And when it comes, don't be discouraged. Be encouraged. It's the will of God. And He saw fit, just as He saw fit to bruise Christ. He sees fit sometimes to rid us of our impurities and to shape us that we might be used. Not only is this candlestick of the right material and the right workmanship, but I'm going to tell you there's one other thing too. There's more than one other thing. But it has to have the right fuel. You can't burn water. That's right. Water is a type of the law. Jesus didn't come to burn water. He came to burn oil. There's oil in the candlestick. And oil is a type of the Spirit. And we can't just go out by the law, by the law, by the law, by the law. But we must go in the Spirit of God. That's right. God is a Spirit. And those who would worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, if you can try to worship Him by the letter of the law, you're trying to burn water. And it won't happen. And you won't be the light of the world. Your fire will be out. You'll be dead. I can try to give you the formalities of how to conduct a church service, and it won't work. I can tell you the right four songs to sing in the right order, how many verses of them to sing in the right speed to sing it at, and it's like burning water. It won't work. You got to have oil in the lamp. You remember the wise and the foolish virgins? The foolish virgins had everything but the oil, and it was their destruction. Jesus Christ, it says, was given the Spirit without measure. That means He had an unlimited supply of the Spirit of God within Him. He emptied Himself, said He came, made Himself of no reputation. That means He emptied Himself of all of His abilities and walked by the Spirit of God that He might be an example to us that we can walk by the Spirit of God. And if we're going to have a pure light out there, it has to be from pure oil. Has anybody ever burned unclean fuel? I have. If you try to burn something that's impure or unclean, you know it'll have streaks in it. It won't burn with a clean flame. But if you got pure oil, it'll give off a pure light. And it was pure olive oil, by the way, that they used. The fruit of the olive, by the way, that olive oil is always a type of the Holy Ghost. the Spirit of God. And if we're going to be the light of the world, then we must be filled with the Holy Ghost. We must be filled with the Spirit of God if we're going to be the light of the world. And that's right. Now that's Bible. And anybody can like it or not like it, but that's what we have to do. We can't be filled with our own self. We can't be filled with filth. We must be filled. We must have a clean chamber. Our heart must be a clean chamber filled with the Spirit of God if we're going to, like Christ, be the light of this world. He said, I am the light. And then He said, you are the light of the world. So then we must have a clean heart, purged from impurities, filled with the Spirit of God, that we can be. Let's go on to the next one. That wick has to be right. You say, don't say nothing about a wick. Well, it implies one. When it talks about there in 38, the tongs and the snuff dishes up, those tongs it's talking about are those clippers they clip the wicks with. I hadn't looked that up. I didn't know that of myself. But they have to trim the wicks every day. You know, the wicks themselves were made of linen or even wood. And they also are a type of a man. You got to have the right wick in a lamp for it to burn clean. If you got a wick that's not pure, if you got a wick that's not trimmed, it won't burn clean. It'll burn smoky. Now, surely y'all remember that. I know most of you, and probably all of you, have burned lamps enough that you know what happens when you burn one with a wick. Hey, if the wick's sticking out there too far, it'll burn smoky. And that old flesh, because that trimmed wick speaks to a flesh that's kept in order. Now, Jesus Christ had a flesh that was perfectly kept in order. He was without sin. And His light was perfect. But if you and I are going to be like Him, that wick has to be trimmed. You know they had to trim the wicks in the temple every day? Does it make sense to you then that Paul would say, I have to be crucified daily? I die daily? We have to have our wick trimmed daily? We have to daily put our flesh in order? Our flesh can't be sticking out there too far. It won't do nothing but create smoke and confusion. That's what smoke is. It's confusion. It blocks light. But we have to be trimmed every day. Every day our flesh has to be put in order. Trimmed means that it has to be made less. Our flesh has to be made less every day. That means we have to desire what we desire for our flesh less every day. John said, I must decrease and He must increase. A lamp has to be the right material, has to be the right workmanship, has to have the right fuel, and it has to have the right wick. Has to have the right wick. Your flesh and my flesh cannot give light. Your flesh and my flesh, just like that wick, all they can do is make smoke. But they can transmit the oil to the heat. Our God's a consuming fire. And the transmission of that oil, the Spirit of God, must go through that wick. Must go through you and I. And can I tell you one other thing about those wicks and that candle? There come a time when that wick was consumed. And there comes a time when you and I are consumed in the service of God. I'm talking about the time comes when we die. The wicks in that candle were not thrown away. But because they were used in the service of God, they had to be disposed of as if they were holy. And can I tell you, God's not going to throw you away if you're consumed in His service either. And if you grow less and less and less, that He might grow brighter and brighter and brighter, God's not going to throw you away either. There'll come a time when you'll be replaced. Christians have been replaced for 2,000 years. And the gospel will go on after you and I if the Lord's not come back by the time we die. And we'll be replaced. But we'll not be thrown away. That wick has to be right in that candle. And I'm not going to keep you too long. There's one more thing I want to get to you. That candle had to be in the right place. It wouldn't have done no good for that candlestick to have been just put out there on the street corner somewhere. It had to be in the house of God. Furthermore, it was lit every evening until the morning. That means it, not only it had to be the right time and place. And the right place for you and I, first off, is in the house of God. And by the house of God, I mean in the family of God. I'm talking about that a person who's saved has to be joined to the church. And the second thing, when I say the house of God, is even for us to assemble together. But the third thing I'd bring out to you, even more important than that, is the candle was of no effect unless it was dark. I want you to think about that. You can't be the light of the world if it's light outside. You were made the light of the world because the world is dark. That's right. The darkness is what we're light to. We're not here to all come in here and line this place with mirrors and let our light shine all in here so we can stare at each other's light. We're made to be candles out in the darkness. We're made to go out there where people are dark. I'm going to tell you, that candle was alone in the dark. Have you ever felt like you were alone in a dark world? Like everybody around you was wicked? Well, maybe they were. Maybe that means you were in the right place. That's the time for that light to shine bright. It's not for the light to stare at the darkness, but it's for darkness to stare at the light. And you know, that candlestick being light in a room full of darkness was the odd one of the bunch, wasn't it? Only thing giving out light when nothing else was giving out light. And if you're in the right place, you might be the only one around who has the love of God burning and shining inside them. You might be the only one around giving out light around a whole bunch of people that have no light of their own. So not only do you have to be made of the right stuff and filled with the right stuff, prepared the right way, but you got to be out there by yourself in a dark world to be the light of the world. Jesus Christ came to His own, and His own received Him not. He came to a world full of sin that didn't even want Him. And you're going to have to do the same. You're going to have to go out there and do the right thing when everybody around you is doing the wrong thing. And do you not know that they're going to question you? They're going to ask you, why don't you do this? Oh, come on, it won't hurt. You can do a little bit. But to be the light of the world, we have to be willing to be different from the rest of the world. We have to be willing and content that we would do our duty and not be concerned with what else is going on. You are the light of the world, the Lord said. And so I'm asking you, where are you at with your light? Do you know for sure you're made of the right materials? Are you encouraged in the fact that the Lord's process sometimes feels like a beating? Are you full of the Spirit? Are there other things that are in your heart? I don't know about you, I constantly battle that one. I constantly find things in me that just don't belong. I constantly have to go to the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, please get these thoughts away from me. Lord, this thing that's in my life is taking my attention away from you, and it's not. And I need your help. I constantly have to go in after that. I believe if you're honest, you do too. Getting the impurities out. Are you satisfied that you're full of the Spirit of God? I'm very seldom very satisfied for very long. There are times when I know that the Lord in me, that I'm so full of the love of the Lord and the Spirit of God, it's like I feel like I'm glowing. You ever been there? It don't stay that way for long, do it? We constantly have to be refilled. We constantly have to seek after being refilled. After all, as that candle burns, is not the oil consumed? Constantly need fresh oil. The priest constantly had to pour in fresh oil. And I constantly have to trim the wick. Constantly have to look after that. But of all the things, of all those things, I ask you this. Are you content to do your duty in a dark world? And I'm trying to encourage you, because I know you're out there by yourself at times. I know that you're out there in places where nobody around you worships God. There might be some that say they do, but I know you're in places where you feel alone. And I want to tell you, if you're out there shining a light and you're alone, you're in exactly the right place. This is why God sets you out there like a candlestick and not under a bushel somewhere. We're not made bushels. We're made candlesticks. And we're made out there to light. You're the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men. I guess I'm just trying to encourage you the same as I'm trying to encourage me to be like Jesus Christ. He came pure. He came full of the Spirit of God. On fire for God. and was content to do his father's will. By himself. The only one who was right so many times. In a world that was wicked. A world that received him not. He was content to burn. 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 And be consumed in his father's will. It's who I want to be. It's who I find myself falling short of. But that's who I want to be. I want to be as Jesus Christ was. And as He's commanded me to be. And I want you to do the same. I'm aware of the things that can get you discouraged because they're the same ones that can get me down. I'm aware of the darkness. I'm aware of how easy it is to be contaminated. And how that it's difficult to remember every morning to trim your own wick. But I want to encourage you, just like I want to encourage me, let us go and be like Christ. Let us go and look at Him for our example. To be like that candlestick, full of oil, and burning bright in a dark world. And that's all I have for you this morning. But if I can lift up the name of Christ, anytime I come in here, I'll feel like I'm doing my duty. And we'll close out this morning. Let's just close out with prayer this morning. We've only got a small handful of it. And we'll close out with prayer. I want you to be careful out there. It's wet, and we're already low on numbers. And we've just come off a revival, and there's often a lot of fights that go on after a revival. Spiritual fights, and even in the natural, our enemy will come after us. So be careful out there. Both in the natural, I speak in the spiritual as well. May the Lord go with you and help you in all that you do. And Brother Ronald, would you close us in a word of prayer, sir?